Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Once again, this is KASK Radio Station coming out of Houston, Texas, to the nation. Tonight's a great night that we want to give God the glory, want to praise Him, want to love Him and adore Him for the things that He has done for us. One thing that I will say tonight to you is, I want to talk to you much about faith. Because there are faithless people who say they have faith, but faith calls you to move in a direction toward God. And the more you study in the Word of God, the more you see. If you go to the 11th chapter of Hebrews, you're going to find the hallmark for all the faithers. But also, you take notice of what God is saying in His entire Word. In the beginning, God spoke light. That was darkness. Who was God? God is. Who is God? God is. God has a way of letting us know, us things, what He wants to do through us and by us. One of the things I will say tonight, I want to discuss and preach the Word of God to some of you out there listening. One thing tonight I want to talk to you about is going to be very, very, very helpful to me and to you, especially those who do, who come on, some don't. But I want to take you to the book of Faith Produces. I want to take you to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 through 20, gives us a clear notoriety of what God wants us to understand. And the more you begin to look into God's Word, the more you can appreciate God's Word, and the more you want God's Word. So, 3:16 to 20. The 16th verse states that He granted you, according to the riches of His glory, be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in you, in your heart, by faith, that you being rooted, grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with much saints what is the breadth, the length, and the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ being passive knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and all that we think, according to the power that worketh in us. So I want to talk tonight very briefly. Faith produces. What does faith produce? Faith produces grace. It produces wisdom. It produces knowledge. It produces understanding. It produces the God kind of attitude. So let me show you something. Faith produces faith wherein we stand and rejoice. So what are we rejoice? Those who have been born again, number one, don't leave nobody behind. When you didn't know Jesus Christ, somebody led you to Jesus. And when you come to accept Him, you can say faith produces grace. Grace is the unmerited love of God that He has for us. And when you take notice of Him, I want you to go with me to the book of Romans chapter 5 and 2. Because I want to show you how you can rejoice. See, a lot of us, you have to take your time and read the Word. You have to study the Word. You have to dig into the Word. The more you dig in, the more you appreciate it. The more you acknowledge. So Romans chapter 5 and 2 says, by whom also we have access. See, faith produces us to have produces access. Access to God by faith and to His grace. See, here it is again. Wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. What is it does? Faith produces grace. Wherein we stand and be full of joy. Rejoice means continuation. Rejoice, rejoice. We just want to join what the Lord has done for us and through us. Because faith moves us to another, it moves us to another level. The more we can give God his word. See, one thing, God loves his word given back to him. Oh, he said, see, give me my word back to me. And God let you know, when you give it back to him, God know for sure that you have faith. Am I moving forward? Amen. So, the second thing I'd like to bring to your attention is, peace with God gives us the light, the right to stand in high privileges, high places. When you read the book of Romans 5:1, it tells us, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, not through the fivefold ministry, not through somebody who have mucky, mucky, muck, but it's the grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I always say this, I've come to understand this here. The kingdom of God is within me. The kingdom of God is within me. Why is it? Because all of the attributes I'm making mention of, they're in me. Because the kingdom of God operates in me. Not outside, it's within. And the more it's within, the more I can have faith produces more faith. Faith produces grace, hallelujah, rejoicing, long-suffering. See, some people out there are not, listen, see, long-suffering makes you even better because you're going to have to go through some changes. Am I going through some long-suffering? Put your hand on the Bible and say amen. Thirdly, I want to tell you something, that if you have confidently looking forward to become all that he wants us to be, sometimes it takes all of us, particularly me, you, all to listen, to do exactly what we believe. This is the confidence that we have. We're looking forward to seeing him. John chapter 1, I believe it's verse 1 or 2 tells us, chapter 1 or 2 tells us, this is the confidence that we have. This is the confidence that I have. This is the confidence that we have. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Therefore, the confidence, confide in what God has said. My extended faith that I have, but nothing but water. But when I get God's faith out to another level. Why? Because it's going to bring some inner producing in my spiritual body. See, my flesh is dead because I have said, I crucify daily that the kingdom of God may live within me. So see, if you crucify yourself, hallelujah, Father. So if you crucify the flesh, the devil has no eyes, he has no hand, he has no feet, he has nothing to operate in because the devil is blind as a bat. But if he can operate in you, he's going to do it. Because if you see, when Jesus was telling those men, then he said, one of my sons, and one of them was sick unto death. But God spoke and said, this day, your faith is made you whole. But I want to continue to let you know what God is doing through us and for us. When we have confidence, we confide in God's prayer time. We confide in God's word. We confide in what God told us. How did God tell us? Because his word tells us. We walk by faith and not by sight. Faith coming by hearing the word of God. Faith persuades us to produce. Produce what? To produce more inward ability for you. I'm speaking to you. So somebody else can say, oh, I like the work of Jesus. I like the way Jesus walked. Well, you got to do what Jesus did. We got to do what Jesus did. He gave it all to come down this earth to follow. We have to give it all in this earth to come be with him. Because he has made us a special place. According to the Bible, God has given us spirits. We create a place for in the high, high heaven where we can walk with God and talk with God. So why should I be
negligent of doing what God has called me to do? Why should I, when I know that I know that I know that God is going to do? See, when you walk in the Spirit of God, when you walk in the confidence of God, when you take God at His word and let His word produce what He says He's going to do, no matter what anybody say to you, don't you let them tell you you can't, because you can. God say you can. God say, I am that I am, and besides me, there is none other. When you take God at His word, everything comes to a still. I love Him so much. I adore Him so much. I thank you for what you do for me. And I want you to know this night that the confidence that I have, I don't have to worry about being broke. Glory to God. I don't have to worry about not having a car. Glory to God. I don't have to worry about having a home. Glory to God. I don't have to worry about nothing of this world, because He says He knows our need. But God wants us to let it be known to Him. What do you want, Hunter? I want more knowledge, more understanding, more grace. I want more to do the kingdom business. See, the more we do for God, the more God's going to give us. If you can take notice of what the book said in the Old Testament, which is now part of the New Testament, God said, remember, it is I, not Willie Hunter, it is I, God, who gave you. I gave you the understanding. I gave you the ability. I gave you the grace to get wealth. Not so much in money, but in understanding and knowledge. Wealth of knowledge, wealth of this and wealth of, and see, one thing I love about Abraham, Abraham was a man of faith, because God brought this man from 0 to 10. He stood there on the number 10. And I say 10 because if you take notice, God operates in a number. I just chose a number. Because when Abraham, God said to Abraham, and God was speak to him spiritually, his inner man, the inward man, he will speak to him. He said, Abraham, he said, give me your son. Abraham fussed and argued, but he said, okay, Lord, I know I'm going to give him to you, but God wants to see the action he's going to have. He restored confidence back in what man, because he could send Jesus Christ to man, who was even better than Abraham. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah. See, when you take more what God has to say for us and through us, it behooves us to produce. See, knowing, oh, I love it, knowing the author and the finisher, we have joy and peace. Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. See, at midnight, let me tell you something. Paul and Silas prayed. Now in Acts 16:25, they had perfect trust. Here they are producing again. They're producing trust. See, you have to look inside of yourself and see what God wants to do to you. I'm telling you, don't look outside. Look on the inside. Lord, you live on the inside of me. If you notice, when Jesus rose from the dead, there was no blood. There was no blood, but he rose with what? The supernatural anointing of God. Hallelujah. He was full of the anointing. He was full of God in him. Hallelujah. And see, the more I can tell you, the more we come together, the more we can see God doing what he says he's going to do. And I can tell you this much and let you know, there is no help that God has. When God does what he says he's going to do, God's going to do it. See, faith produces. A lot of folks say, well, honey, you know you got the big head. No, I want to tell you this here. Faith produces faith. Why? Because the more I walk in faith, the more faith produces. Because the more it's on the inside of me, oh, not on the outside of me, on the inside of me, faith produces. Not in my heart, but my spiritual man. My spiritual man is in control of my inner man. Because the devil doesn't have an ear to talk into, don't have eyes to see out of, don't have hand to feel with, don't have nothing, because I've given it over to the Lord Jesus. And you know one more thing I just love what the Lord said? When Paul and Silas prayed and sung praises to God, well, they was in jail. Now just think, what would you do if you were in jail right today in this time we now live in? They done put two preachers in jail for got their preaching the gospel. They done put them in jail. Lock them up. Throw the key away. But God came down because they had full faith to produce that God would answer that prayer. Do you have that kind of faith? I believe I do. I believe you do. See, for somebody, well, I don't know about it. First. Can you imagine Paul and Silas down there? Well, you go and lead the prayer, and I'll just go ahead and wait. They both, one prayed, one sung praises. Because they was in perfect confidence that faith could produce what they said, God. If we can rejoice in the grace of when we stand, we ought to be able to stand in faith. Faith calls things to happen for you. Let me tell you some things. When I begin to hone in on this in my teaching, understanding what faith produces, I got a lesson I want to talk. No greater faith, little faith, this faith, that. I got some information I want to download to you to understand. Oh, you know something? No, I don't. But I know faith produces whatever my desire is. Because God's going to give it to me that I can give it to somebody else that believes like me. See, a lot of people believe, but they don't believe like you believe. Faith. God is not a visible God. He's a God we've never seen. He's an invisible God. Even though the scientists have said they done got going out to 350 million miles in the land of Samasa, they just even, that's like at the end of the water that God has. Throw a rock in there. See how, all you're going to do is see one of where you throw it, it's going to go. It'll ring and come back to you. So I would say to those of us who want to come involved into it, get your head into the word. Take notice. Not so much about me, but you see, believing in him, that's Jesus, by faith, we have we have so much joy. So much joy. So much joy. Sometimes I'm at church, I don't want to leave, but I have to get up and go. Sometimes I just say, okay, I have to take my own step and get happy. Because the joy that's within me, it's not in my physical heart, it's in my spiritual heart. And the more you trust God, see, the faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. And the word of God was produced when two men that God used. He used two women. He used Elizabeth and he used Mary. Then he brought in two men. And one man was, he said, he's better than I am. He got something to tell you. Jesus said, I've come to set you free. I've come to show. And he did what he did. For 30 years, he learned the whole item of what they were supposed to be doing. He didn't know a woman. He never had no wine. Didn't take a raise or nothing. But on the 30th year, he said, this day, oh glory, hallelujah, this day, the word of God is going to be proved in your sight. And he has sent me. When you read Isaiah, it's going to tell you, he has sent me. He has sent me. See, God sent his son to set those of us who are in darkness in light. We're no longer sitting in darkness, we're sitting in light. What light? The light of understanding, of faith. Faith produces light. Light produces faith. The more we get involved in it, God brings us to a standpoint. And see, one thing I want you to believe in faith. And see, one thing you'll say, our faith is tested and purified. Bring praise. Glory and honor. Rebounds. Hallelujah. Rebounds. Recalls and recalls. Results and overflow. And overflow. Overflows. What is faith produces? Faith produces. I tried to tell a person one that I know myself. I said, you know what? I want to grow some greens, but I only got one seed. I planted that one seed, I said, oh my God, One seed. Not a whole bunch, just one seed. Produce one stalk of green. But this thing, if I'd have planted more seed, but it was for me, this is what you can do. The more you plan faith in your heart, the more production you're going to get. The more you want to see God do it, the more God's going to work for you. The more God needs you, God needs me, I need God. I want you to believe that you have received. See, what's inside of me, that lives the Lord God Almighty, I live the Son of God in my spiritual man, I live the Holy Spirit. Why? Because these three are one inside of me. I've come to that point to understand more now than ever. It just took me to a point where God said, can you see what I want you to see? I said, yeah, Lord, show it to me. Faith produces. Now, what does faith produce? It produces faith. I walk by faith. I live by faith. I speak by faith. And everything I do is by faith. Not just because I heard somebody tell me, no. No, that's days gone and past. The Bible tells you and I exclusively, listen, faith produces confidence. Well, did you ever try to learn how to drive? When I first tried, a young man to drive, didn't know nothing about a clutch. Didn't know nothing about that. Back then they had that clutch where you have to double clutch and hit that clutch and hit the brake. I knew nothing about that. In my hometown, I was on top of the hill. And the man said, just sit in, don't bother the car, I'll be right back. And it's like a dumb bat, like a dingbat. I went on and touched the clutch, shifted out of gear. It started going, and I tried to stop it. Wouldn't stop it. It was still rolling. Didn't notice what the brakes were for. See, you got to glory to God. You got to know what the brakes. See, there needs to be some brakes in our lives. We need to put a brake. The brake is stop. Stop it. Stop it. And let God produce it in you. When you're full of, and I'm so excited, what God showed me last night, this day moreover, he said, I've called you to a new level. Can you produce? I said, I can, Lord. When I read Hebrews, I want you to go with me when I got the Bible. We'll go to Hebrews chapter 10. Oh, glory to God. Go with me right quick. Hebrews chapter 10. Because I want you to see something. Can you just believe? Phew, glory. When you look at this, I want to take correction. I want to take you to, we have the confidence that God can. Isaiah 29, verses 16, take me to the Old Testament. Come take a journey with me. Can you take a journey with me for just a moment? Take a journey with me. I want to show you something, what God has said and how pure and true it is. Isaiah 29. Man, if you read Isaiah, you know, six books in there, you can read them. And the more you read, the more you appreciate them, because it tells you so much what God is doing, has done, much yet to be done. Isaiah 29 and verse 16. 29. Okay, here we go. And 16 says these words. Surely. Am I right? Yeah. Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as a pot of clay. For you shall the work of saying him made it. He made me not. Or shall the things framed say of him that is framed it? Who has understanding? Nobody but God. That's why we have to come into God's conscience. And the more you come into God's kingdom, you understand, I'm just a potter, Lord. I'm not the potter, I'm just the clay. Make me, shape me, and mold me. You are the potter, whatever design you want in me. I can't question now what you want in me. I can't, but I can believe through my faith, through my moving into the word of God, through my ability to say what God says for me, I can be assured that as long as I trust in God, he'll never fail me. He will never fail me. Why? Because he wants us, to those of us we teach, to those of us we reach. Somebody said, well, blah, blah, blah. I just say, okay. See, I don't care what nobody say. I turn my head on the backside. I don't care, because faith said I produce. As long as you can produce what God says, God is excited. See, I want God to brag on me. I brag on God. Somebody said I was stupid. Somebody said, honey, you sound like you're crazy when you tell God to bless himself. Why don't I tell God? Do you ever tell God to bless your own self? Bless yourself, Father. Bless your own self. Why? You just bless yourself. Why? Bless yourself. Why? Bless yourself. You bless yourself. Why? Bless yourself. You'll never be blessed. But as long as you can tell God to bless, God's going to say, that person is in love with me. God's going to get in love with you. Now, you take notice. When you take close to Job, how Job went through some things. Job, the question raised him superstitiously. Job, God had a, gee, I love God, I thank you. But you know what I say this about Job? When you go to the book of Job and you read in the first chapter and second chapter, that's when the enemy came on the scene. God said, now, I want God to be able to brag on me like he bragged on Job. He said, oh, Mr. Devil, have you considered my servant down there? Have you considered the apostle? Yeah, I have, but I can't get to him. Why you can't get to him? Well, you know, you got a hedge around them. He said, oh, no. But the devil said, but look, if you allow me, I'll make him curse you to your face. God said, okay, Mr. Devil, go ahead. You can do everything you want to them, apostles, but you can't have the soul. Why? Because we gave it to Yeshua. How much? We gave it to Jehovah. We gave it in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. We gave it in the name of the Holy Spirit. We gave it that God might outcome the devil. The devil doesn't have anything. He's toothless. He's eyeless. All he has is a roar. So when you give over to the devil, my God, time away. Let me finish it. Woo, praise God. See, when you enter into the presence of God, and I'm going to tell you, because I have discovered more, I'm just walking this thing by faith. I've been wanting to share it with a lot of people that when the point of time God said, now you can share it. I walk by faith and not by sight. In other words, I'm walking as a blind man in the world, but full of God's light on the inside of me. Hallelujah. And you know what I say is, I say, whenever we enter his presence, he has purpose this way for us. When I read Ephesians chapter 3, let's go back there one more time. I'm going to go back. I'm going to show you because I got an apostle coming on that I love. I thank God for the apostle. I don't want to take up his time. Amen. So I want to take you to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11. Here's what God says. He tells us something he wants us to do. Some people don't want to do it. You know why some people want to do it? Because they don't want to give up and give in. Lord, thank you, Holy Father. 3 and 11 says, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Here's the proportion. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence. Good God Almighty. As the apostle would say, I'm about to jump up and down this road in here, run up and down in the house and then shouting hallelujah. I got myself hanging to this seat. You got to see confidence by faith in him. Not faith in the pastor, not faith in the five folk, but faith in God through Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Faith blossoms abundantly, more than we can ask or think or believe. And you know, beloved, tonight is the time I just thank God for allowing me to have words to you. And I love God. I thank God for you. If there's somebody out there, you can call the radio line 347-850-8955. Or you can email me at willijhunter@yahoo.com because I want you to know we love you. I love you. I want you to see what God has done for me. Is it going to take a long time? No, it's not.
It's not going to take a long time. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to come before the people. Give them the word. I thank you for the word you gave tonight. Faith produces. It produces grace, joy, peace, the inner man. Hallelujah. I want to thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Hello, amen. Hey. Amen. How you doing, Apostle?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Apostle Honey?
I tell you, man, I'm having joy.
Faith
I'm having
produces.
Joy. He's right. That's right, my brother. Yes, sir.
Amen.
So,
faith does produce.
It does produce. It produces everything.
Yes, sir.
All we got to do is just be patient and wait on God.
Yes, sir. That's it.
Patience brings us confidence.
Yes.
And when we get that confidence.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, last night, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to turn you loose. Last night, I was in the, so much in the God, I heard the word of God say, no, the kingdom of heaven is within you. I
That's
said,
right.
but Lord, he said, the kingdom of heaven is within you.
Yes.
It's within
yes.
me.
That's right.
More
That's
now
right.
than ever. I
yes,
said,
sir.
What? He
yes,
said,
sir.
Yes. I stayed in prayer all night long in prayer. I was texting everybody. The Lord told me to do it. God is making a move. Not because
yes.
of me, but because of the faith that I have in his word. And I love it.
Yes,
Don't you
sir.
Love it, Apostle?
Amen.
Don't you love it, Apostle?
Amen.
Well, the Lord bless you. Lord keep you. It's your time to go ahead. So peace be with you. Go ahead.
Peace be with you. Glory to God. Well, this
Hallelujah.
Is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank
Amen.
God for another day. Well, tonight I'll be talking about redeeming your time.
Oh, my God.
Redeeming your time. If you would, everyone, please turn your Bibles with me to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians
okay.
chapter 4, verses 3 through 5.
All right.
Colossians chapter 4, verses 3 through 5. It says, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance.
Amen.
To speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Anytime that you have an open door to preach, to teach the word, that's a door that God has opened up.
Yes.
And that's what Paul is recognizing right here. That's what he's saying right here. He said, I realize that when I have an opportunity to speak the mystery of Christ, it's God who's opened up the door of opportunity, like the opportunity to preach and teach the word on Dr. Hunter's radio, blog radio program.
Amen.
Well, that's an open door that Yahweh, that Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh has opened up. This
yeah.
is a door that he's opened up. Look at verse 4. That I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. And that word manifest means to make clear. To make clear, make it plain. So when we have the opportunity by God to preach, to teach the word, it's not the opportunity to entertain. It's not the opportunity to hoot and grunt and growl. No, we're to speak the word of God. That's what he says right here. That I may make it manifest, make it plain, as I ought to speak. Our concern when we have an open door by God to preach and to teach the word, our concern should be, am I making it plain?
Am I making
it understandable? Because it's God who's given us this opportunity to speak his word. It's God.
Amen.
Verse 5 says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. And that's what I want to key in on right there, redeeming the
time.
Now, Paul is saying right here, I've been given this open door, this opportunity to speak the word of God, and I'm not going to waste time.
No.
I'm not going to waste time. I'm going to make the most of this opportunity. And that's what we're to do. It's not time to clown around. It's not time to hoop and growl and grunt. And it's not time to entertain the people. It's time to speak the word. And then he says, make it manifest, make it plain, and to redeem the time. And we need to not waste the time. We need to make the most of every opportunity that Yahweh gives us. And so God gave me the message, redeeming your time. Redeeming your time. Making it personal. Redeeming your time. Now, the Hebrew word for redeem is pada. Pada. And it means to pada. Pada. That's the Hebrew word for redeem. Pada.
Pada.
And it means to recontrol. We need to recontrol. I didn't even know that was a word. But it means to recontrol. That means to take control of your time. You know, there's one thing that every man has in common. And that is that God has given each and every one of us a limited amount of what? Time.
Time.
Be it 120 years. We have 120 years. That's a limited time that we have to carry out the purpose and plan of God.
My God.
Each and every man has been given time. We all have that in common. And what this scripture is saying right here, we need to take control of time and not waste it. We need to make the most of our time.
That's
we don't
it,
have
that's
time
it.
To be wasting time. That's where you get that saying from, you know, and they were right. When they said, man, don't be wasting my what?
Time.
You might hear some people say, come on, time is what? Money. And that's right. Time is money, and you can waste time. And so God is telling us right here in this text, Apostle, he's telling us that we must redeem the time, redeem our time. What does that mean? Take ownership of our time and control of our time.
Amen.
Time, we have a limited amount of time. Now, time, it means time is a limited period during which an action or process exists and takes place.
Yes.
So time is limited. Time is limited. Eternal is forever, but time is limited. We have a limited amount of time, and God says we need to redeem our time. That means make the most of our time. Make the most of every opportunity. We don't waste our time. Don't waste our time. And so this message is going to encourage all those who are listening. It's going to encourage everyone to take control and ownership of your time.
Amen.
Take control and ownership of your time. See, what you are and what you become depends on how you use your time.
Yes.
What you are and what you become depends on how you use your time. Do those things that will help you fulfill your destiny.
Yes.
Take ownership and control of your time. You know, time can be wasted. You can waste time. You can sleep your time away.
Yes.
You can sleep your time away. You can waste time. Or you can take control of your time, and you can use your time wisely. This message is going to show you the things that you can do that will help you redeem your time. This message is going to show you some things that you can do that will help you take control of your time and use your time wisely. You know, you can't step up under a tree all day and drink beer and barbecue and play dominoes. You can't do that. You're wasting time. You can't do that. this message is going to encourage you to use your time wisely. Look at Proverbs chapter 6, verse 10 and 11. Time can be wasted. And God placed this word in the Bible so that people will not what? Waste their time. Don't waste the time that God has given you. Don't waste the time that God has given you. Look at Proverbs chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. The scripture says, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall poverty come as one that travaileth, and thou want as an armed man. In other words, if you waste your time and you're sleeping all the time, not doing anything, you're going to be in poverty. You're going to be in poverty. Nothing comes to a sleeper but a dream. Have you heard that saying, doctor? Nothing comes to a sleeper but a dream. Don't waste your time. If we waste our time, Apostle Hunter, we're gonna spend our days in what? Poverty.
So what
God is saying here, he's saying redeem your time. Redeem your time. What does redeem mean? It's pada in the Hebrew, pada, and it means to take control of your time. To redeem is an intervening action that causes a release from an undesirable condition. It's an intervening. See, when you take control of your time, that's an action. And it's going to cause a release in your life from anything that's undesirable. Say, for example, you're out of shape. Say, for example, a person is out of shape. They're fat, they're out of shape, and they're sickly. Well, because they're sleeping and they're not exercising, they're wasting their what? Time. So if you take control of your time, if you redeem your time, you begin to exercise and work out, that's going to release you from that what? Undesirable condition. You're going to get in shape. You're going to get healthy when you use your time, what, wisely. You see, we got to do those things that will help us fulfill our destiny. Say you want to be in tip-top shape. Well, you're going to have to do those things that will help you, what, fulfill your destiny. You're going to have to get up out of bed. You're going to have to get out there, rain, snow, sleet, hail, or rain, and get out there and exercise. When you do that, You're going to reach your destiny of what? Having great health.
Yes.
Redeem your time. Get up. Do something. Do something. Redeem your. Don't waste your time. Take ownership of your time. Take control of your time. Do those things that will help you fulfill your destiny. What you are and what you become depends on how you use your time. We need to do the things that create value in our lives. We need to do the things that create value in our lives. Do the things that will create value in your life. We don't have time to be messing off time. Isn't that right, Apostle Hunter?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We've got to, and a lot of people are doing a lot of things, but it's not creating what? Value in your life. We've got to put first things first. We've got to do those things that are going to add or create value in our life. Look at Luke chapter 10, and I'll give you an example. Luke chapter 10. I'll give you an example.
Luke chapter 10.
Luke chapter 10. Come on, Luke. We need to do those things that will create value in our life. The message is redeeming your time. Taking control of your time. Not wasting what? Your time. God, Yahweh, has given every human being a limited amount of time.
Mm.
The Bible says 120 years. Well, we need to make the best of our 120 years. We need to make the best of our one, take control, take ownership of the time that God has given us and carry out the will of God for our life. Carry out the plans of God for our life. We need to redeem our time, not waste our time. We need to make the most of every opportunity. Now look at Luke chapter 10 and verses 38 through 42. Now it came to pass as they went, they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received Yeshua into her house. And
yes.
She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Yeshua's feet and heard his word. Now she's doing something that's adding what? Value, that's creating value
yes.
In life. She's doing something that's creating value in her life. She's not wasting what? Time. She's doing something that's creating value in her life. What we're doing right now, Apostle Hunter, we're not
Amen.
Wasting time. We're redeeming our
redeeming
time. What we're doing right now is adding value to our lives. And it's
Amen.
Not only adding value to our lives, it's adding value to other people's lives that's hearing us. So,
yes.
You know what? I'm really not in a big rush to stop doing what I'm doing because what I'm doing right now is adding value, is creating value to life. This
yes.
is what you call redeeming the time. We're making the most of every opportunity. What we're doing right now, Dr. Hunter, is of utmost importance. It is
yes.
a vital necessity. It's
it
a vital necessity. Now and Mary realized that. And that's why it says here in verse 39 that she sat at the feet of Yeshua. And what did she do? She heard his word. She was
yes.
getting revelation from God. She was getting revelation from God. Now look at verse 40. But Martha was encumbered about much serving. She was in the kitchen and serving and doing things. And she came to Yeshua and said, Yeshua, don't you care that my sister have left me alone in this kitchen to take care of business and serve? Tell her to come in here and help me. And look what Yeshua said in verse 41. And Yeshua answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. One thing is a
one
vital
thing.
Necessity. One thing. What is
thing.
That one thing? And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken from her. See, she had her priorities right. You know,
yeah.
it's good to be serving and working in the kitchen, but you got to get your priorities right. When Yeshua is teaching, you need to be sitting at his feet hearing the word of God. That's
Amen.
A vital of necessity. Yeshua
yeah.
said, this is the good part. This is the one thing that is needful. Good God Almighty. Redeeming. We've got to redeem our time. We've got to get our priorities right. See, you can be doing a good thing, but you could be doing that thing at the wrong time. If
yeah.
you have the choice of hearing the word of God and being working off in the kitchen, hey, the better thing is hearing the word of God. You
uh-huh.
see, if we're going to redeem our time, Apostle Hunter, we got to get our priority right.
This is right. Amen.
We got to get
Amen.
Our priorities right. I couldn't be somewhere lollygagging, playing around at 7:30. No, because at 7:30, I'm going to be on the radio.
Amen.
Where I am right now, teaching the word of God. Apostle
Amen.
Hunter can't be messing around doing something else at 7 p.m. because he has to be spreading the word of God, teaching the word of God. You see,
yes,
we
got
to make the most of every opportunity. We got to get our priorities right. We got to do those things that create value in life.
Yes. yes.
We've got Pray. To do those things that create value in
right.
life. Being
Amen.
In the Word, plane, teaching the word, ministering the word over the radio. You know what? These things create value in life.
They do.
Meditating Amen. In his word day and night. When you do that, you're what? Creating value in life. What are you doing? You're redeeming your time. What does it mean to redeem your time? You're making the most of your what? Time. You're not wasting time. You're making the most of the time that God has given you. He's allotted each and every one of us what? Time. And we
time.
Need to make the most of our what? Time. So that's what that scripture is saying, Dr. Hunter. We must what? Redeem our what? Time.
Time.
God is saying, make the most of your time. Don't be sleeping all day. Get up and make the most of your time. Don't be standing up under a tree playing dominoes and drinking all day. Get up and make the most of your time. Do something that's going to add value to life.
Get up and do something. That's it. Get up and do something.
Get up and do something that's going to add value to life. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. So I feel good about when I'm on the radio and ministering the word with Apostle Hunter. I feel good
Amen.
About that because I'm doing something. I'm doing the best thing. Good God Almighty. I'm doing the best thing that you can be doing is what? In the word of God. I'm doing the best thing. It's the one thing that is what? Needful.
Need. That's it. Preach it, brother. The whole thing coming to you with this. Yes, sir.
Yeshua told Martha, Martha, you're worried and concerned about a whole lot of stuff, but Mary had chosen what? The better thing to do.
The better thing. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Some people might be mocking me and Apostle Hunter, you know, on the radio, saying, anyway, no, we're not wasting our time. We've chosen a better thing to do.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
We're doing something that's adding and creating value in
right.
life. It's
that's
a better thing. We're redeeming
better.
Our what? Time.
Time.
Now look at Ephesians. Look at Ephesians chapter 5.
Okay.
The message is redeeming your time. Redeeming your time. God wants you, child of God, to make the most of every opportunity. He wants you to use your time wisely. You know, time can be wasted. In other words, Yahweh, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, is encouraging you not to waste your time.
That's it.
Don't waste your time. Make good use of your time. Use your time wisely. Take ownership and control of your time. Don't sleep your life away.
That's it.
Don't play your life away. There's a time to play, but you can't play all day.
No.
Can't sit up under a tree and play dominoes all day and get and drink all day. You're not redeeming your time. You're wasting time. You can't
like
sit in front of the TV all day.
Come on, Apostle. Come on, Apostle.
Redeem your time.
Redeem
Look
your
time. Look at Ephesians. Redeem your time. Make the most of every opportunity. Make the most of your time. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 14 through 19. Wherefore, he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, good God Almighty. You see, that God is telling you again, wake up, get up, do something.
Wake up, get up.
Yeah, you got people sitting on the phone all day, gossiping and talking and putting people down. Get off that phone.
Yes,
do something that makes and do something that creates value in life. Stop putting other people down and get up. You do something.
Yes.
And that's what God is telling us. Redeem your time. Look what he says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. Wherefore, he said, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools. Don't walk around as a fool, but as wise. Look at verse 16. Doing what? Redeeming the time. There it is again. Redeeming the time. Here God is saying it again in Ephesians. Make the most of your time. Use your time wisely. Man, time is money.
Yes, it
That's
is.
Why you got to tell people, don't waste my time.
No.
Amen. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. We don't have time to be playing around. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit.
Yes.
Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You see, we got to be doing those things that create value in life. That's what that scripture is saying. We got to redeem our time, not waste our time. We need to be in the Word. We need to be singing psalms and hymns. We need to be teaching in the Word and preaching the Word and bringing understanding to people,
yeah.
Helping people get out of bondage. We need to be telling them about Yeshua, Yeshua. We need to be telling them that the kingdom of God is at hand.
Yes.
Redeem your time. Now, here are some things that we can do. Here are some more things that we can do that will help us take control of our time and redeem our time. Number one, we gotta do inventory your associations.
Thank you.
Inventory your associations. What does that mean? You got to check out who you've been hanging around with. You could be hanging around some people that are wasting your time.
Yes.
You can be hanging around some people that are doing more harm to you than good.
Amen.
Some people can make you feel like a little peon. Some people that you hang around with can make you feel like so little that, like, what you're doing is not about anything. You need to get around from around that person. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, the Bible says bad company corrupts good morals. You think that you're going to change that person, but that person is going to change you. So you got to hang around people that are going to add to you, that are going to encourage you, that are going to build you up, that are going to edify you, that are going to work with you, not tear you down.
Amen.
Not belittle you. We've got to redeem our time. We got to, number two, another thing we got to do, we got to protect our plans and our priorities.
Yes.
We got to protect our plans for our life and our priorities. Let me show you that. You know, Yeshua, he did that himself. Go back to Luke chapter 2. You've got to protect your plans and your priorities.
Yes.
Look at Luke chapter 2. See, everybody that smiles in your face is not for you.
No.
Everyone that act like they're your friend is not your friend.
It's gone.
You got to watch them. They can bring you down and have you in the same place 10 years from now.
Yeah.
You got some people that don't want you going higher than they are. They want to pull you down to where they are. So you got to protect your plans. You got a people that will try to talk you out of carrying out the plans that God has given you.
Talk, brother. Talk apart.
You don't need to go to church. Some people say, oh, man, we don't need to go to church that much. It don't take that much church. No, you do need church. We need as much church as we can get. We need as much word as we can get. See, we got to protect our plans and our priorities.
Yes.
Oh, it don't look like that's working. Man, you're wasting your time. It don't look like that's working. Oh, it's working. It's working. Don't let them talk you out of your plans, out of your priorities. It's working. Your labor in the Lord is not in vain. God didn't say take away from doing the work of the Lord. He said abound in good works.
Yes.
You got to protect your plans. Don't let people talk you out of your plans for your life that God has given you. Don't let people talk you out of your priorities. And Yeshua did the same thing himself. Look at Luke chapter 2, and let's look at verse 47 through 49. You know I'm going to back it up in the Word.
That's it.
And it says right here, and all that heard Yeshua, all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers.
Yeah.
And when they saw, they were amazed. See, he was teaching. Yeshua was teaching the people, and the people were astounded. They were amazed. He was helping them. He was walking in his gift. He was walking in his calling. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee with sorrowing. You see, Yeshua had went on, Apostle Hunter, to do take care of his father's business. He had went on and started doing the work of the Lord. And his mother and father were looking for him. They couldn't find him. They couldn't find him. So they caught up with him and said, Yeshua, we were looking for you, and we were very sorrowful. Why did you do us like that, son? And what did Yeshua say? Look at verse 49. He said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wish ye not that I must be about my father's business? Glory to God. He said, I must be about my father's business. You see, they were trying to, you know, they didn't know what they were doing, but he said, I can't let you pull me out of the plan of God for my life. I got to keep my priorities right. I came to seek and save those who are lost. I must be about my what? Father's business. What was he doing? He was protecting his plans and priorities.
Amen.
We've got to protect our plans and our priorities. Number three, we got to protect them. See, we can't let people get us out of doing what God has called us to do.
Amen.
So one thing that you can do to help redeem your time is you got to inventory your associations. Number two, you got to protect your plans and priorities. And number three, you got to get your priorities in order. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear, the necessities of life. God says, I'll meet all your needs. I'll give you your house. I'll give you the car that you need to get around. I'll give you everything you need if you get your priorities in order. Seek me first. Do what I tell you to do what? First. Don't put me at the back of the line. You got to put what I want you to do what? At the front of the line.
The front of the line. Praise God.
These things help us to redeem our time. We got to make decisions based on our destiny. We got to make decisions that are based on our destiny. We can't try to please everyone. Try to please everyone. And we can't get caught up in the past. The Bible, Paul said, he said, one thing I do, I haven't arrived yet, but he said, one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind, and I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. See, if you're going to redeem your time, you got to forget the past. You got to stop trying to please everybody. You got to inventory your associations. You got to make decisions based on your destiny. You got to protect your plans and your priorities. You got to prioritize. You got to put your priorities in order, and you got to pursue your passion. You got to go after it. You got to go after your passion. What I'm doing right now, I do it for free.
My God.
Because it's my passion. It's my passion. I'll do it for free because it's my passion. You got to pursue your passion. That's what Yeshua said he did. And Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, Yeshua, he pursued his passion. Look what he said in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, he said, for the Son of Man is come to what? To seek and to save that which was lost. What is it? He said, I'm here to pursue my what? Passion. I'll come to seek and save those who are lost. I'm here to take care of business. I must be about my what? Father's business. He was pursuing his passion. He didn't even let his mama and daddy get he didn't let his earthly mother and daddy get him off track. He said, I must be about my father's business. That's why I took off on your mama. That's why I took off on your daddy. I had to be about my what? Father's business. You can't let people talk you out of being on the radio when you know you got to be on the radio.
Talk it. Preach it.
You can't let people talk you out of doing the things that God has opened up for you to do. You got to protect the plan of God for your life. You got to protect your priorities.
That's it.
When you do these things, you're redeeming your time. That's why in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, Yeshua said, "Let not this book of the law depart out of your mouth." He said, "Meditate in it when? Day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written therein, and then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success." In other words, he said, you got to make the most of your time. You got to put first things first.
That's it.
We chase another thing when we need to be chasing God.
Yeah.
We're pursuing other things when we need to really be hungering and pursuing God.
Mm-hmm.
Redeeming the time. We got to use our time wisely. There were five foolish virgins, and then there were five wise virgins. Man, I tell you, when the master came back, the foolish virgins, they didn't have enough oil in their lamps, and they said to the wise virgin, give us some of your oil. And then the wise virgin said, no, not so, go and buy your own. When the foolish virgin went to buy their own, man, then the master came and shut the door.
Yeah.
And then the foolish virgin said, let us in. He said, no, the door is already shut. It's too late. You see,
late.
They wasted their time.
Yeah.
They wasted their time. That's why Yeshua said, Apostle Honor, he said what? Work while it is day. For the night coming when no man can work. You got to make the most of your time. Redeem your time right now. And that's
right
the word
now.
God gave me, Apostle.
Amen. Well, I've received it. I pray God to somebody out there in radio land. I've heard it around the world because this is getting out there. I don't believe the devil's doing everything he can. But solidarity of the word. And so we got another brother coming on now. Pastor Urban, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How you doing tonight, Doctor?
I'm okay. I got Apostle also.
Hello.
Hi, how are you tonight?
Doing great, brother. How you doing?
Hey, blessed and highly flavored.
Amen.
Amen.
Most people are favored. I'm flavored. Salt of the earth.
Amen.
No, praise God. Hey, thank you. Listen, you know, once again, I've sit there and deal with the people all week long, and I've listened to people in their prayers. And, you know, even David, after you go back into Psalms 31, you know, David was beaten down. He was had his wits in. He had the people that were with him had walked away. I mean, his family was in moral distress. He had a son that was after him. He had another son that was murdered. Another son that raped his daughter. And he lost his kingdom. But you know, David never gave up hope on the Lord. And hearing his prayer.
No.
He never gave up on the Lord and knowing that God will answer his prayers and bring redemption and restore and renew. We all know that Satan, he owns the space in between the throne and earth.
Yeah.
He is prince of the air. But you know, People, what I want to get at tonight is I know there's a lot of people out there that are weary, they're tired, they're seeing what's going on in the world, and you know, and we keep on hearing the things, especially, we need to pray for the people in Ferguson, Missouri, and in Israel, and in other places, where we see this, you know, in the Middle East, we can see all this stuff that's coming about, all this evil and ugliness that's coming out around the world. we keep watching it and we get weary, and then we see it in our own lives with our own families and our workplaces, and we know the stuff that's coming about with us and upon us. You know, we're seeing the prices of food going up, and we're wondering how we can do it. You know, and I know for a fact that each of us, our families, our mothers, our grandparents, our great grandparents, they all struggle. They all struggle maybe through their lives. You know, a lot of stories we probably never heard, even about our mothers and fathers, how they struggled to raise us in different areas and things that they've gone through in their lives, even when they were young. You know, they hardly ever speak about it. But they all pulled through. And a lot of them pulled through by the grace of God. And a lot of them were probably like what I was a rounder, man. I mean, I did everything. I tempted God in many ways. I tempted life. You know, I'd be like the guy that walked out onto the edge of the branch and try to take the extra step. You know, but God always kept pulling me back until I realized who it was. But you know, what I want to get at is that being weary in prayer, and I know many are, but you got to know this. You got to understand this. Satan cannot stop your prayer from what you preach or speak. Go to the throne. The minute they come out of your mouth, they come from your heart or from your spirit, they go directly to the throne of God. And he answers those prayers. It's the prayers, the answers that are coming down, that's where Satan gets involved, and he tries to distort, he tries to steal, he tries everything else in his power to keep you from for the answer to that prayer.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But if you stay strong, if you really stay strong and continue to believe that it's true, that your prayers have been answered, you know, I was talking to a guy, and he said to him, well, God won't answer some prayers. And I said, no, he answers all prayers. And he said, well, sometimes he won't let you have certain things. And I said, he said, like maybe a snake, because a snake will bite you and he didn't want you to get hurt. I said, no. I said, God would rather you didn't have the snake, but he would not keep that snake from you. That he would not keep that from you obtaining that which you asked for. But he said, if the snake bites you, then that's a lesson learned, because you should have had wisdom in the first place.
Amen.
Amen.
So you know, amen. You know, I mean, there's things that you ask for, like, if you're silly enough and say, hey, I want that man's wife, you know, Lord, please. Well, yeah, he's not going to answer that. No. I mean, he's not going to answer anything like that. But anything that for the desires of your heart and the things that you have need of, you know, and it comes to the point and says, well, God will keep things out of harm's way.
Mm-hmm.
I said, no, that is not for an answer of a prayer. That God says, if you will follow me, if you will listen to me, I will lead you in a path and a direction that will not harm you. He didn't say anything about your prayers not given to you, because when you ask, God says, when you ask, it's given. What you ask in my name is given. And even if you want to go one step further, because I was reading, and it struck me the other day when I was reading, and Jesus says, if it be the will of my Father. Now, that can go as far as the saying is, look, if I told you so, it will be. And it is the same what he was saying to the people. If it be the will of my Father. In other words, whatever you ask in my name, because it be of his will, because it's in my name, you can have it.
Yes.
Do you understand?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And so there's a lot of confusion, and there's a lot of things in that, because people, when they ask for things and it doesn't come, that's his wait for it. It will come. It will come in a time when it's ready and it's needed to be there. It will come for you. You know, he said he gives you your heart's desires, and that is a promise.
Yeah.
And so when people tell you, say, well, he didn't give it to me because his answer was probably no. No, his answer wasn't no. Because he says, you can have it, but you got to believe. You got to believe. You got to wait for it. So Daniel had to wait, 21 days for the answer to his prayer. And the angel said to him, said, I'd have been here earlier, but I had to fight the prince of Persia. So even though your prayers have been answered, God dispatches the angels with your answers to them prayers. But they're intervening in the heavens, coming through. They're constantly fighting for you and for your protection. They're fighting for you to give you what your desires, your heart. They're fighting for you to be able to walk that walk that you want to walk with the Lord. You know, even David, like I said, even when he was in the caves and running from the people, even it says in 31, he says that when David, of course, David was a very, very strong leader, a very strong king. He said, I was a reproach among my enemies, but especially among my neighbors and of a fear of my acquaintance, they that did see me without fled from me. That's right there to say that he was a mighty man.
He's a mighty man.
But he was distraught. He came to the point. He says, I am forgotten as a dead man out of my mind. I am like a broken vessel. He was distraught. Because everything he had, it has come against him. He was weary, and he was worn out, and he was tired, and he was broken. But you know what he did? In the very first verse says, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust? Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness.
Yes.
Bow thy ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock and of a house of defiance to save me. He, right then and there, he knew the strength of the Lord. He knew everything that he could do nothing without the righteousness of God. And everything that was in him, it was up for the Lord. He surrendered himself down to the Lord. And he asked the Lord to guide him and direct him, even in his time. He didn't sit there and say, Lord, why did you forget me? You ain't answering my prayers. You ain't done nothing for me. You haven't done this. You haven't done that. Look, I've lost everything. What's going on? He didn't. He continued to have faith. Amen. He continued to pray, and he continued to seek God for his righteousness. He kept continuing to seek God for his truth. He kept seeking God for to redeem him. And it set him back in the path of righteousness and for his mercy and his grace.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. And there's people out there right now that Satan has come attacked against you.
Yes.
He's come attacked against your families, your businesses, your homes, even in your state. Like I said, we can see it going on in the world. We can see how the courts are turned upside down. The world is literally being turned upside down, and it's scary. It really is scary. But God wants you to know that as long as you continue to trust in him, believe it, he will direct your path. He will take you out of harm's way. He will keep you. He will deliver you into safety. He will feed you. He will answer your prayers. He will calm you, and he'll make it right with you.
Amen.
No matter how dark it gets right now in this world, no matter how hard it seems to be right now, and no matter how hard that Satan is coming against you, God has a plan for your life.
Yes, he
and
does.
He has a direction. He has a direction. You know, I've been witnessing to so many people, you know, even my past, you know, it was a checkered past. You know, I did a lot of things that I'm not really proud of, and a lot of things that it's not even to brag about, but like I said, God was always there for me, even before I even knew who He was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jacob fought with God. You know, even I fought with God. And, you know, and I want to be respectful here when I want to say this, and I want to say it in both in triumph, victory for both of us, because we both won. God won me. He won me. He won my soul. He won me. But also I won because I got to know who God was. I got to know Him on a personal level. I got to know a God that truly loved me, that I have gained so much respect for. And even in my trying times, sometimes I stumble and not really forget, but I get angry, but I have to sit there and repent. But I do know that the God that I fought, who won my soul, won my heart.
Amen.
Also, I won for the fact that I got to know the most precious thing in my life, and that was God. That was Him personally. Being able at that point in my life to begin a personal relationship with the Lord. I don't recommend that for everybody. But, you know, that's just the way it came about with me and the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we can do it. There's others who just fall on grace. There's others who give up and just flat out they just repent and their sorrow and their bitterness or whatever else it was. But God knew my spirit. He knew me because He created me. He knew who I was. Unfortunately, I didn't know who He was. But it was probably one of the greatest things that I ever did in my life. And it wasn't, like I said, I'm not bragging. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I'd be scared to death to go against Him again because I don't think He would have the same mercy.
Amen.
But I'm telling you that I know people out there right now that are really, really down and out, and they're weary, and they're hurting, and they're in pain. But, you know, if you sit there, like I said, if you go back and you can start to read Psalms 20, or 31 and know where David was at, and know that he was in a peril in his lifetime, that even his bones were weak. Because he felt like he was a dead man, and even in his bones, you know, when you start to lose concentration on the Lord, that you start to die inside.
Yes.
You spiritually start to die, and when you start to die, it takes a toll on your body. It takes a toll on your muscles, even in the marrow of your bones. It takes a toll on you, and to the point you will literally die an early death. You know,
mm-hmm.
we don't need this. God sat there and he's a God of life. He's a God that of mercy and grace. If He give you life, why would He take it from you? You don't need to be listening to the world. You don't need to be listening to your neighbor. And you don't need to be listening to the newscast of how down and out and dark and you know, if all we change our attitudes. Yeah, we can sit there and turn a blind eye to what's going on in the world, and it doesn't. It's not going to change anything. But we can start speaking life into that darkness. If we can start speaking life, they will begin to see the light.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
That's right.
That's
and
right.
We got to get out there, and we got to get out there, you know, and we got to start speaking life.
Yes.
We have to start speaking life into that darkness to draw those people out, to draw those people out of that anger, out of that bitterness, out of that hatred, out of the darkness to what they're going into. You can almost see like it's a river. It's a never-ending river, and it's going away from the Lord. We need to sit there and start calling them out. We need to sit there and start drawing them back. And we can do it as long as if we start speaking life. Because God says our tongue is a two-edged sword. It goes both ways. It cuts both ways. We can speak life or we can speak death.
Amen.
And if we can continue to sit there and speak to the darkness, how dark it is and how ugly it is and how nasty it is, how our brothers are doing this, how we're going against the churches, how we're, the churches are going against each other, fighting against each other. You know, this is not biblical. God says we need to speak life into our brothers and sisters. We need to start speaking life into the darkness. We need to start speaking life into the churches. You know, unite as one. The enemy is united. That's why they're so strong. That's why they're so strong and getting stronger, because they are united. And as long as they know that they're united, and that Satan is in the pews, and he's dividing the churches. And we can't have that anymore. We got to stop it. We got to start speaking life back into the churches. We got to start speaking life back into our cities. We got to start speaking life back into the officials and our governments. We got to start speaking life, that they begin to see the light and begin to turn this world around. And we can do that, but we need to stand up and start speaking it.
Amen.
The only way we can do that is through prayer and fasting, and we can do that through knowing and believing, no matter how dark and how weary we are. If we have the faith, is what David had in his hour right now when he was down and out and felt like God, literally there was nothing left in his life, that everything hated him, the world hated him, he had lost everything, there was nothing left. But he still believed in God. He still believed that people that were lying and coming against him in lies and deceit, those who were coming against him to destroy him, those who were coming against him in temptations and everything else that was coming against him, he never gave up and he never stopped once to sit there and seek God for his redeeming powers, for his life, for his spirit, and for his life. It, never once, because he knew who God was. He knew who the Father was.
He is.
Even though he may have lost the building of the temple, but God sat there and made it, that his son, but God provided through David everything he needed for that to build the temple. Now, I'm going some here with this, because even though you're seeing right now some of you out there that are struggling in your finances and you're giving up on hope and everything else, and maybe you figure you lost it and God is not going to make a way for you to have those things, yes, he will. It may not be yours to be given anymore, but that's okay, because he will give it to your son or your daughter, and they will continue on, and they will continue to fight. They will continue to struggle. It will continue to bring the life and the light. And it will continue that heritage which God has given unto you. That is the glory of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
So, praise Brother Amel, I just, there's some things in here, you know, I just know in my heart that I just know that there were the people are struggling, and I don't know why, but it's been on my heart all week, because listening to the other people, and I just like to pray for them right now. Those who are struggling,
all right, go ahead,
and that maybe that they'll begin to that something that sparked into them that they could be able to hear and they listen, maybe they'll be able to understand. But Heavenly Father, right now, Lord, thank you. Thank you that we could come to your throne, Lord. Thank you, Father, that we could come to you, Lord, in this hour, Lord. We know in the darkness in our lives, Lord, in the very depths of our spirit, Lord. We know that you are true. We know that you're the life, and you are the light, and you are the way. Father, right now I ask that everyone that who is in, listening to my voice that is struggling and trying to figure out, have you left us? Have you forgotten us? Have you not answered our prayers, Lord? I know right now, Lord, that you have. You will. And it is done, Lord, according to your promises, Lord, according to the kingdom of heaven, Lord, that you will establish in each and every one, Lord, who has received your Son Jesus, the kingdom, Lord, Lord, the Christ, Lord,
Lord,
that Jesus shed for our salvation to be redeemed, Lord, that you have made a way and you had a plan for each and every one of us. Lord, as sometimes we pray for silly things, Lord, and sometimes we pray just to see if you are really there to you really answer a prayer, Lord. But in deep inside, Lord, we know the prayers of our heart, Lord. You know the prayers that, and the desires, you know that what it is that we need. Lord, I'm asking right now if you encourage them, give them strength, Lord. I ask right now, Lord, if you would just touch them right now. Those who have been setting back and feel like they've nothing left, Lord, you would encourage them again. You would send an angel, Lord, to encourage them, to lift them up and put them back on that path, Lord, that righteous, redeeming soul, Lord, that you have, that form, Lord, that you set them apart from the world once again. Lord, just touch them right now, Lord. Just that peace in their heart, Lord, and that understanding. And we thank you, Father, for what you're doing in their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, one thing I'll say tonight, the Lord has been gracious to us. And the one thing we can continue to do is taking the word at face value. At face value.
Amen.
God, it's true, it's pure, it's been tried. And the book, it says, I put my trust in him. I've tried him. His salvation is my shield. So I will say this to all of us tonight, that the Lord will bless us and keep us and let us continue to stay in prayer. But I'd like to leave these words with someone out there that's listening. Tonight's been a night that God has spoken to the hearts of the people in darkness. God has elevated his word through his ministers, through the fivefold ministry. God has said what he's going to do. And I like what both of my brothers tonight have said. The more we trust in God, the more we've got to start giving account. Go ahead right now. I give an account of myself. I don't want to spend too much time wasting doing nothing. I'm not going to waste my time over doing something that can edify the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Yahweh. Now, the more we can do that, he'll bless us. So, my brothers, the Lord bless you and keep you until next time. Peace of God be with you. And I'll see you then. Amen?
Amen.
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 Amen. Shalom. Shalom. Shalom.
Shalom.
Amen.
Shalom.